All right, so I wasn't here on the show yesterday. You may have noticed, and there was a reason for that, and I decided to be really honest. I'm always very honest on our show. It's probably the most common thing I hear from people when I'm receiving feedback, emails, and texts is just, thank you for being honest, thank you for being real. And this isn't something that has been very easy to be honest about, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And I wrote about it at the Beat 92.5 on Facebook, and in the past 12 hours, the like outpouring of love and messages and support that I've received from people, from coworkers, from people I know, and from strangers as well has been like nothing short of overwhelming. And I'm so appreciative, and I will definitely take the time to try and get back. But this is why I couldn't do our show yesterday morning. And this is the first time that this has happened in my 14-year radio career. None of us are obviously blind or immune to seeing what is happening right now in the United States and all across the world, as we're seeing people standing up, people of all nationalities and all races, standing up and demanding some justice. Justice for people like George Floyd, whose life was unjustly taken away in the hands of a police officer, and police officers who still haven't been arrested and still aren't being held accountable for standing around and watching one of their colleagues take a man's life away. And on Sunday, when there was a peaceful protest here in Montreal, I had decided pretty last minute, actually after the protest had already began, that I should go to St. Catherine Street, go downtown, and try and just see and feel. I went by myself. I didn't really know what to expect. My intention was never really to be in the thick of the protest, but I knew that it was my job to report on these things, and I knew that in my soul as a Black woman, I couldn't let this happen in my city without having some sort of feeling, having some sort of understanding with what was happening. So I made my way to St. Catherine as I had intended. I never really was in the thick of the protest, but I had this moment while I was on St. Catherine. I believe the protest was a street up happening on Sherbrooke. I could see people and I could definitely feel the energy. And I was at an intersection. And as I sort of looked around the intersection, I saw three other Black people. There were three Black men also at the intersection. And St. Catherine was being blocked off by a very, very large group of police officers in riot gear. And it was truthfully terrifying. My gut was in my throat, and I made eye contact with these Black men. And if you are a minority, you know that it is not new and it is not unheard of to make eye contact with another minority. And you just sort of have these unspoken words. It's nothing you say out loud, but this sort of understanding and this feeling of support and, you know, acknowledgement of this collective struggle. Like, I hear you. I feel you. And this happened long before these protests began. This has been happening for as long as I've been alive, and I'm sure for 400 years as well. And I looked at these men, and I'm sure they were more terrified than I was as Black men. But just the thought that went through my mind, and I felt as though I couldn't breathe. Like, I felt like my breath was taken away. I felt like I needed to hold my breath until I got to safety. And the crazy thing is that safety felt like it was away from the police officers, away from the people who were meant, and not because all police officers are bad and not because all police officers are racist. That's not true at all. But because if there was just one police officer in that group of people, just one who was racist, one who decided that they wanted to control the narrative of what was happening on that corner, either with me or with these other Black men, I knew that in that moment, the truth may never be told. You know, I knew in that moment they would have the opportunity to maybe take a life and to blame it on something that never happened. And it was terrifying. And as I walked away, and I know that these Black men felt the same way, my anxiety lowered a little bit and I felt safer as I walked away. And something that I really want to make clear here is, this is not a fight. This fight that you're seeing happening, this is not a fight against Black people and police officers. This is not a fight against Black people and white people. This is a fight against racist people and the rest of us. This is a fight against people who are racist and the people who are not racist. And I think that it is more important than it has ever been that people remember that it is not good enough to remain silently non-racist, you know, like you have to be vocal right now. And that was my struggle on Sunday as I got home from that protest and I was sitting at home and I was trying to decide what I would possibly come in here and talk about on our show on Monday morning, because I'll be completely honest, I, to this moment, and especially on Sunday evening and Monday morning, I was drained. I was exhausted, like on a soul level. I had nothing left to give. I had nothing. I didn't know what to say. To come in here, and I'm surrounded by, yes, supportive coworkers, but nobody who looks like me and nobody who really understands what it's like, more than ever people who are trying to understand, but nobody who really, really understands, not in this studio, not in my workplace. And the idea of having to come in here and try to articulate how I felt while speaking in a way that would not offend anybody or make anybody around me feel uncomfortable seemed like an absolute impossible task. I had no idea how I could possibly do that without making someone feel bad. And I took the day. And I told my bosses too. I said, I'm going to stay at home tomorrow and this is why I'm doing it. And I had to do it. I won't lie. I cried for probably a good 36 hours straight this weekend. I think I had to process and go through the emotions and go through the healing. Right now, I would say I'm in the emotional hangover part of the emotions that I've been feeling for the past 48 hours. And my bosses understood, and they said, look, we understand that you have to be in your emotions, but they also encouraged me as a Black woman, one of, if not the only Black woman on a commercial radio station in this city. They said, we would prefer to have you there telling the story and not other people speaking on your behalf. And we can't wait until you feel comfortable coming in and doing that. But until then, what can we do and how can we help? And what do you need from us, basically? So I took that time. I cried a lot. I spoke with my bosses on the phone yesterday on FaceTime, and they were like, your eyes are completely swollen. It was extremely emotional and extremely draining. And I collected myself and got myself together and decided to come in here this morning and just speak from my heart, you know, and speak my truth. And all that I can really say as a Black woman is that the support means everything. If you are terrified of saying the wrong thing, we can no longer be there anymore. We can no longer get mad when people don't say the perfect. We have to educate each other. We have to educate ourselves, and we have to feel comfortable having these conversations, even though it is the least comfortable thing that there is. It's not comfortable for anybody, but we have to go there. We have to get used to it. And really is that, along with voting the right people in our governments, really the only way we are going to see change. So to the people who feel or felt like racism wasn't a big problem here in Montreal, here in Canada, here in North America, to see you suddenly educating yourself, speaking up, acknowledging the privilege means more than words can ever say. And it is a big reason that I felt like I was able to come back in on this show this morning and speak my truth. And I will forever be grateful for that. And I beg you, beg you, beg you from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of so many names, an endless list of names like George Floyd, whose lives have been taken away and who have to get up every day and fight against systemic racism, sometimes quietly because you can't say anything. You're surrounded by people who really don't get it. Thank you so much for acknowledging that privilege and putting in the effort and putting in the work to listen and to try to understand and be on the right side of things. Because again, this is a fight against racist people.